G'day, AJ Mahara here with Pathways to Healing podcast, Mind, Body, Spirit, Integrated Resilience Recovery. And in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be talking about fear. Why fear is important, moreover, why fear is omnipresent for many, and how fear can be the key to moving forward, especially after abuse or any kind of trauma in your life. Fear is a really important emotion, and not enough people give it its due. In other words, a lot of people, rather than facing it, try to avoid it as much as they can. Fear often is at the heart of the symptom of anxiety, or panic, or dread, or so many other emotions that people can be feeling. So is fear, like an old movie suggested, is fear the mind killer? Interesting question to ponder. Fears are a part of life, without doubt. More part of life for those who've been abused. Narcissistically abused, sexually abused, in any way, shape, or form abused. Everyone is afraid of something, however. Whether it comes from clowns or wild animals or whatever it might be, at some point in your life, you're going to experience some degree of fear. And maybe you've experienced for too long in your life right now due to narcissistic abuse, cluster B abuse, maybe sexual abuse, physical abuse, domestic abuse, a whole lot of fear. Fear that isn't imaginary or unreal in any way, but fear that outlives the event, that outlives the actual trauma. Fear after breaking up with a narcissist or being ghosted by one or a borderline or a psychopath, whatever the case may be. So is this fear then generally a good thing? Well, fear is a good thing. Yep, you heard me correctly. Fear can spur you to quick action and even save your life. When there is a real danger, an ever and present danger often in the case of a narcissist or somebody in cluster B. And it might be physical, the fear might be a physical danger, the danger might be physical, the danger might be emotional, psychological for sure, can be spiritual. And really, people who are in these relationships long-term or have long-term exposure to a narcissist or a narcopath, a psychopath, really need to realize that fear, arousing the flight, fight, freeze, or fawn, is also very unchecked fear, unhealed fear, undealt with fear, very harmful to people's physical health, and in fact, is part of the reason why, after narcissistic abuse, that trauma, you can have brain damage, actually. If fear is negatively affecting your life, fear not. You can conquer your fears and live a life free from the pain and apprehension, anxiety, maybe even terror, but certainly trauma, right? That fear has brought you. There are many fears you can overcome with a conscious decision to change your mindset, a reframe. But that often involves for people to get out of relationships or get away from proximity narcs. Be careful on YouTube too. Because the thing is, you have to make this conscious decision, and maybe your fear hasn't been aroused yet by the narcissist or the borderline or the psychopath in your life. But maybe you know something's off. Fear is an important emotion, a strong, potent, important emotion to get in touch with, to not deny, to not allow, to just pass by and then come and go but not deal with it. It really is important to process and overcome fears. And so a change of your mindset might mean also a change, a huge change in your life. And often for people, I mean, especially with a narcissist, should be going no contact, getting away from them. Because if you fear them, then the fear is the emotion, along with anger often for people, that is telling you, you know, get away. It's that action kind of emotion. It's trying to get you to heed it, to get away, to seek harm reduction and take care of yourself. And there are many fear-reducing techniques that you can definitely become aware of and learn about. But when it comes to narcissistic abuse, cluster B abuse, the biggest fear-reducing technique is making sometimes the most difficult choice to go no contact. Other fears are so extreme that they require professional help, like the fear that can be involved after being terrorized and traumatized by a cluster B, especially a narcissist or a psychopath, or a dark triad. The topic of fear is so very important in so many people's lives. Do you think fear right now is negatively affecting your life? And if so, are you being really mindfully aware of how and why? Focusing on conquering your fears will also give you a significant boost in confidence because you will have taken action toward harm reduction, action toward healing. And that's very important too, because inaction doesn't give you the opportunity to create the kind of change that can really address fear. And fear can be, especially with a cluster B, fear can become very primal and be very much keeping your limbic system in high gear with hypervigilance, and it can be exhausting, not only a risk to your health, but just totally exhausting. Every time you face a fear, you'll gain strength and courage and confidence in the doing, that is, the facing of the fear. Is fear the mind killer? There was a movie, I think people recommend not really to watch it, but apparently there was a book that was a better read, a science fiction movie, back in 1984, became a cult movie, actually, by David Lynch, and it was a film adaptation, of Dune, and there's where the question originated from. Is fear the mind killer? And the answer, surprisingly enough, is yes. Fear has a tendency to overpower rational thought and replace it with sheer panic or terror. Panic is a powerful sensation that can lead to undesired results. And, you know, including brain damage from long-term exposure to cluster B abuse or abuse of any kind. That is the shrinking of the hippocampus. It also causes the swelling of the amygdala. The hippocampus will affect your short-term memory, and this shrinking of the amygdala will produce greater anxiety with fear, and often for people with panic. So in one sense, it is something of a mind killer, fear, as you lose yourself in the fear, as you lose yourself to the fear. But fear and panic and cluster B abuse are all overcomable with choices and with deciding to take your own pathway to healing. And when you are in a fearful situation, it's important to stay calm Now, that can be really difficult, right? But it's so important to not react, to observe and not absorb, because staying calm is going to protect your health. It's going to help you emotionally. It's going to help you not give supply. It's going to help you not to go have the next go round of whatever you say they're going to turn against you. And staying calm really does keep your nervous system from spiking in, your limbic system really, but part of your nervous system, was spiking in that, flight, fear, flight, fawn, or freeze mode of, speeding your whole body up, really. So staying calm is important. And it's one of the keys to keeping your fear and panic at bay, or keeping it so that it's not affecting you in a physical way, and knowing that you can cope with what you're facing in a psychological and emotional way. And it might sound like a really simple platitude, right? To telling a heartbroken friend to get over it. But that's not what I'm saying here. And it's really the best way to face your fear, though, is to make the choices that you have to make, to come out of denial and face what really is, and also to know that you really can't stay in the proximity or relationship to whoever the person in your life is that might be cluster B, because it's really putting you in harm's way. Can't rescue them and you can't save them. And the person that needs rescue and help, and to rescue themselves, sometimes with professional help, are those who are abused by a cluster B. And not to stay around and continue to allow this to harm you and to create more and more fear in you. Fear and doubt and all kinds of negative impacting emotions. And, staying calm, remaining calm as you can, taking in deep breaths, but mostly getting yourself out of these situations whenever you can. But it's a simple way of avoiding thinking or obsessing or ruminating on what you fear the most. So if what you fear the most is happening in a given moment with a cluster B abusing you, traumatizing you, then you need to still try to remain calm. But the main thing there is facing your fears about being a narcissistic or cluster B abuse survivor or victim at the moment to go on to be a survivor, really, again, fear is building the impetus for you to create the change in your life, for the harm reduction you need, and to get away from the source of what's causing your fear. Because fear is very healthy in relation and reaction to these people. And it's important to keep your wits about you, and that can be very difficult if you're being very emotionally gaslighting by narcissists, for example. It, when people don't know what it is, they don't know what's happening, they just know something feels off or wrong. Wow, the gaslighting alone, it is so, makes it so difficult to keep your wits about you in that sense that, it's not just if you're, because you'll be really confused. And the other thing about keeping your wits about you is it's actually about not allowing that crescendo of emotion in you and reactivity. So not absorbing what the narcissist or the cluster B is doing or saying, observing it, not absorbing it, being as neutral as you can be to keep your nervous system from having to go into the just highest flight, fight, freeze, or fawn mode. It's hard, though, to keep your wits about you or to be neutral and to just be mindful of what's going on when strong emotions can be aroused, whether we act on them or not. It's important to work on diminishing them even when in a situation with an abuser who's yelling or screaming or threatening something. And to know that the more your emotions are involved in that. And fear is an emotion, and fear is healthy, but the more your emotions are involved in that, the more your prefrontal cortex will be flooded, and the harder it makes it to think. So all these reactions and these emotions are not just emotional at all because of the mind-body connection. So it may sound simplistic, but it's true that for many of these situations, the solutions have been ingrained in your memory. The trick is just to remember them at the appropriate time, because you intellectually know them. Consciously quieting your fear can help you recall critical information, because you'll be able to think better if you remain in some detached, neutral mindset, staying calm. You'll be able to critically think about what you really need to do, making sure that you have all the tools at your disposal, or learn them, but having all the tools at your disposal to cope and to take the best care of yourself you can. For example, you know, obviously, if something were to catch on fire, like if your coat were to catch on fire, you know how they always say, stop, drop, and roll? Well, it sounds simple enough. But when you actually have that, if you have that happen to you, you know, if you panic, then, you know, all these emotions can flood your brain to the point where you might not recall because you know, your prefrontal cortex is being flooded. You might not recall stop, drop, and roll. And then you might not get the harm reduction stop, drop, and roll would give you in that situation. Compare that to how a narcissist or a cluster B in a very different way, but you might have already some coping skills and you know some boundaries, or you may be really still confused. But even for people who have some boundaries and know what they want to say and what they don't want to do, if you don't stay calm, what can happen is that emotional flooding, and then you don't remember or you can't recall in those moments what you actually wanted to not do. So it's about mindfulness too. It's important though, as this quote from the movie Dune, it says, is I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when my fear is gone, I will turn and face fear's path, and only I will remain. Knowledge is power. It is often said that people fear what they don't understand. Nothing could be truer when it comes to cluster B personality disorder people. If you don't know, or if you're just finding out that you were with one of them, how you couldn't have known that before you could know that, right? And so fear is increased whenever there's a lack of understanding. So it's a natural given, really, that the best way, a natural way to fight fear, is with knowledge, because then that becomes empowerment. You can use knowledge to combat fear in all kinds of abusive situations until you can find the resolve or make the plan or whatever you need to take care of to get away from an abusive person. So by knowing your fear, you can remain in control of the emotion and prevent it from overwhelming you. It's really key, right? So that you can think rationally and not overreact, and be helping yourself out, like I said, with harm reduction. And if fear does get a grip on you, it can sometimes cause your imagination to run wild. And by filling your brain with facts, it becomes harder for your mind to conjure up doomsday scenarios to send you into panic. And this is really applicable for cluster B abuse survivors after, especially in relationship, but any type of relationship, but especially in significant other relationships when they break up or you get ghosted or whatever happens there, and you know you got to go no contact, cognitive dissonance. And the thing is, you could be, you know, people report, and there's neurobiology that, you know, neurophysiology actually, that doesn't help people out in these situations, that thinking, obsessively thinking, ruminating about the person, you know, the BPD, the NPD, or the psychopath that was abusing you, you know. And so if you just go there, it's even after you've left a situation, even after you've learned more, even after you're no contact, people have this issue for varying periods of time. And if you fill your brain with facts, if you mindfully pay attention to changing your focus from those thoughts about that ex or that abuser and the worry, the comparative narrative that they're going to go off and, oh, they're so much happier with the next person or the next supply or the next object for the borderline, then it's harder for your mind to conjure up this doomsday scenario that, oh, the grass is always going to be greener on the other side and I missed the boat. No, you were in the boat. It was rocking all over the place, made you seasick, and then some, and the boat sank. And now you're swimming to the shore. So there isn't time to deny fear. There isn't time to deny your need for harm reduction and your need to stay calm so that you can fill your brain with facts and not have your mind overrun by obsessive thinking, pattern, rumination, and also that flooding of emotion that won't help you to be able to think straight. And as people realize on this pathway to healing and recovery from cluster B abuse, maybe not right away, it's not an easy journey, but it's such a rewarding one, that at some point, those things that were scary or terrorizing and traumatizing, they turn out, once you work it through, you process it, you can really make the opposite true for yourself in your own life. You have that much empowerment. You can certainly gain that much empowerment, but you can't change anybody but yourself. But that's the really good news today. So now you know, and knowing is half the battle, right? And fear, like I said, is an emotion. Show me a cluster B abuse survivor who hasn't experienced fear, and I'll show you somebody with a severe case of denial. While it may seem like a weakness in the human condition, fear is a very natural thing. And the thing is, after this kind of abuse, what's really traumatizing and re-traumatizing for narcissistic abuse and cluster B abuse survivors is the re-experiencing of the fear, the re-experiencing of the flight, fight, freeze, or fall on. So often, because of the emotions and the trauma and the things that need to be processed, sort of once and for all, really. So it's really important to keep those emotions in check until, unless you're in a safe place or you're working with a coach or a counselor, therapist to help you to really reframe things and have a mindful focus that helps you to process that trauma, to learn and understand more, and to make your way through this healing journey. And you know, confronting your fear doesn't mean confronting the narcissist at all, or person with BPD or a psychopath. No, it's not about that at all. It's that you just learn how to keep a level head, gray rock, don't, you know, observe, don't absorb, detach emotionally, until you can get away and go no contact, or very low contact if children are involved. It's really important to stay calm and prevent your fear, terror, or anxiety from rising to the point where you're overcome and feeling out of control. Because, you know, you've been feeling out of control likely, or have been in the past, way too much because of the controlling person with BPD or the narcissist desire, need, to control you for supply. You've had enough of being controlled. Now is the time to rise up and take the agency, it's a better word than control, for yourself, of yourself, and empower yourself. And these journeys of healing after this kind of abuse, they are difficult, but they are so worth it. And I've seen so many clients, you know, going from just feeling utterly confused, totally in despair, very, very fearful, very exhausted, just all kinds of descriptors, to within maybe, I don't know, 4 to 6 sessions, they, at minimum, not all, but many, can at least laugh again, you know, have had some good cries, have expressed a lot of emotion, have made the decision to go no contact, or are making a plan and strategizing about that. It's really important to not let fear go denied, but then to meet fear with the action that fear is really rising up, like anxiety, to help you to mount the response that is healthy for you. And I think it's just so key to try to stay relaxed. And, you know, a lot of people don't know how to relax around an abuser. Well, it's not that you should overly relax or trust somebody who's abusive, but you need to just know how to get that harm reduction of in those moments when blood pressure can spike, fear is abundant, whether you're conscious of it or not, anger is growing, your need for harm reduction is immediate, and yet you might still be in this situation, or you might be kind of taken hostage by these people, and you can't get out of the room, or you can't get out of the car. And just remember, be mindful that you don't want to go through that again. And I know it's not that easy for so many reasons, you know, and cognitive dissonance, but so many life situations. But the thing is, you deserve the harm reduction, and you need to take care of yourself, because the physical aspects and impacts of cluster B and narcissistic abuse really can wreak havoc physically in your life. Not only brain damage, but also, which can be recovered from, but also autoimmune diseases and other diseases. And I can't tell you the number of clients I've had in the last few years, and a few I still do have that are still working in their healing, who have cancer. And many of them have said they believe it's from the trauma of long-term narcissistic abuse. I can't say that that's known 100% for sure, but it's being highly correlated and understood now for autoimmune diseases, brain damage that can be healed, and autoimmune diseases can be largely healed too. There are now adjunct programs, aside from therapy, to help rewire the brain to really help change and heal a lot of the damage that happens from narcissistic cluster B abuse. So, and lots of people are cancer survivors. And I have some clients who unfortunately are sort of coming to the end of the road there and having to deal with the heartache, the regrets, the if onlys, the what if I did this, the way, what if I got away faster, what if I knew what it was. And some of these people are older. They could be like, they're often in their 50s, maybe they're not same age as me, maybe they're older than me, but the information wasn't around for them at that time. So what I'd like to say to you, and just wrapping up here about talking about how important it is to face your feelings, but your fear and anger, as well as fear, and anxiety, know that that's all coming up in you because you really need to get away from that person. And it's so hard when you love who you thought they were. But the bottom line is you need this harm reduction. And people really need to take this seriously. Because not only are you likely living in misery and confusion and heartache and grief and trauma and anger and fear and pain right now, if you're still in a situation, or you were living all that, the point is you can lose your physical health to this trauma if you don't seek the harm reduction and the help you need and get on the pathway to healing. So I hope that was helpful. And you've been listening to the Pathways to Healing podcast, mind, body, spirit, integrated resilience recovery that I offer to clients or anyone who's seeking, who would like to work with me and help themselves to a healthier, much better, and calmer future. Here and now, change and future. Anyway, take care. Hope that was helpful. And if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can look for it on iTunes or Podomatic, because I'm not going to put up every episode on YouTube. Many, but not every. Take care now.